Well, well, here we are.
All right, people, we're gonna try something a little different today.
No, I do mind. The dude minds. This will not stand.
The only true wisdom is in knowing you know nothing.
That's us, dude.
I cannot solve your problem, sir. Only you can.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
I'm gonna tell you something, and I want you to listen tight. It may sound like I'm talking about me, but I'm not. I'm talking about you. As a matter of fact, I'm talking about all people everywhere.
Discussing the issues that actually matter. Finding the answers using logic and reason. Now here is the host of Rush to Reason, John Rush.
And I'm your host, John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Hour number two is upon us. Haywood, am I saying the last name right? Is it Talcove? Am I saying that right, Haywood?
Yes, sir. You got it.
That's right. A CEO of LexisNexis Risk Solutions, and it's the government group of that, I should say. And how, Haywood, first off, I will let you know that I am an employer in the state of Colorado, so I am very familiar with a lot of the, you know, either fraud or, you know, if somebody doesn't have fraud, trying to get a legitimate claim, you know, pushed through when it comes to our unemployment system here in Colorado. And I will be the first to tell you, it is an absolute disaster.
Well, it's just not in Colorado. It's across the country. Over $200 billion
$200
has been stolen by transnational criminal organizations that are using those funds to harm our country.
$200 billion. That's unbelievable. I mean, I knew in Colorado we were half a billion just here alone, and I guess if you're saying, and I believe you, that this is rampant across the country, I guess it makes sense. I didn't think about it that way.
Yeah, the systems, Colorado was one of the states, was attacked because the state, like many, was focused on program integrity fraud and didn't have a defense system set up to protect against imposter fraud. And once the criminal groups realized it, they went on the dark web, they got all their resources together, and at scale, attacked this country.
Yeah, yeah. So I guess we know how it happened. How could or what should have happened prior to have prevented that? Let me ask you that first.
Yeah, well, first of all, here's a question. Do you think it happened before COVID?
Yes.
It did. That's right. Most states didn't have any protection in place for this imposter fraud. So it was going on under the radar, not at scale. It was when the president and Congress agreed to extend the benefits and provide extra money that it became so lucrative. What should have been done to prevent it, and it's still not being done in Colorado, is using the tools that the private sector, the financial institutions, and the e-retailers have used for the past decade to stop the fraud. Although these fraudsters are very sophisticated, some of them are even state-sponsored, the fraud they're perpetrating has been stopped over a decade ago in the private sector. It's not hard to stop, and I don't understand why states like Colorado aren't using those types of tools.
Is it because we don't want to, you know, admit or recognize that we have a failure there in the first place? I mean, you know, Haywood, governments are well known for, you know, including the United States of America, not just third world country governments, but the United States as well, not admitting when they actually have a problem and or when they have one, not properly identifying and or spending the right resources. And what I mean by that is the right resources, not just throwing money at it and throwing, you know, in some cases, billions of dollars at something like a website that really never worked for the healthcare system in this country. So again, we have been known as a country to waste money on things. I'm talking about really spending money, identifying a problem and fixing it. Why don't we do that as government?
I think part of it is not understanding the tools that are currently available. Not taking a look and asking the question, what are my colleagues doing in the private sector?
So you're right? Telling me that, and by the way, I believe you. I'm just making sure all of our listeners understand this. You're telling me that our own government, federal and state, isn't smart enough to ask the private sector what we're doing to prevent this stuff from happening so they can do the same thing. Is it because they feel like they're better than the private sector and they don't need to ask, Haywood?
I just don't think they know. I think that's really what it is. You know, there was one governor, Governor DeWine in the great state of Ohio, that put together a task force made up of the private sector. And they figured out how to solve the problem in less than 2 weeks. And Ohio is no different than Colorado, right? If right. I was the governor of Colorado and this problem was going on in my state, and I think the last number that I saw was over $500 million
yes,
was lost.
Correct.
And,
correct, yes.
And before your show, I took a look at some stats we get from the dark web, and we still see Colorado being attacked
yes.
at scale. It's the fourth most attacked state in the country, then I would pull out whatever stops I need to. There's two issues here. The first issue is you have legitimate people in the state of Colorado that need a service, that need food,
right.
that need help,
right. Right.
and they're not getting that help. Then you have these transnational criminal groups that are using this money for nefarious purposes, and that shouldn't be happening.
Right.
It shouldn't be. And the governor should be really putting pressure on that agency to ask them how to solve it and solve it quickly.
Well, and again, as an employer, I've got some of my own thoughts. What are some of the things immediately they could institute to try to get some of this stuff, handled and under wrap?
So what I always tell people is the problem with states like Colorado and other states is they didn't put a lock on the front door. So anybody could walk into their agency and apply for benefits. Remember, over the past decade, the number of data breaches that have occurred, mm-hmm. remember all of the stolen PII, that's your name,
right.
your
that's
date
right.
of birth, your
that's
social
right.
security number, that's out there. There isn't, I believe, a single identity in the U.S. that hasn't been stolen.
Okay.
So what you have to do is you have to use a digital lock on that front door to make sure that the person who's trying to get a benefit isn't from Russia, lives in your state, and actually is entitled to a benefit. And the
yeah.
way you do that...
Yeah, legitimately out of a job is what you're saying.
Exactly. And what you do is you use this digital lock, which includes things like device assessment, email analytics, and some public record information. And in less than a millisecond, you can determine if it's Haywood Talco or it's somebody pretending to be Haywood Talco.
Well, and Haywood, answer me this.
That's the problem.
Okay, by the way, agree with everything you're saying. Answer me this. Wouldn't another layer be that given the fact that I, as an employer, have to, report to them all of the employees that work for me. And, of course, I'm collecting, income tax on those employees. And the state knows exactly who I have, who's employed. And by the way, who's not employed based upon what I just told you. Wouldn't it have been easy for them to have made a quick record check to determine if, in fact, this particular person applying does, in fact, show up at an employer's, place of business?
Yeah, and they typically do that, right? The problem was when Congress approved the extended unemployment insurance benefits and they allowed independent contractors. Mm-hmm. And as a result, states like Colorado suspended that process. And because they didn't have a digital lock in the front door, they were approving anyone and everyone that asked for the benefit. So if they had just simply put that lock on mm-hmm. the front door, none of it would have happened.
What are some of the things they could have made it easy for that person applying for unemployment, this digital lock you're speaking of? What are some of the easy things that somebody that was, in fact, the person that needs the benefit would have had at their disposal that they could have then showed the state, here I am, I'm real, and I need benefits? Give me a couple of ideas.
Yeah, well, so first of all, I believe in the state of Colorado, what they're requiring now, which is a very legacy very disruptive and very biased process towards the unbanked, is requiring a foundational government document, for example, a birth certificate or a license.
Mm-hmm.
I checked on the web before I got on your show today, and I can buy on the web a fake Colorado driver's license for $2 now.
Okay.
So wrong approach. Takes too much time. Presumption of guilt and impacts greatly the unbanked individuals and those that don't have those documents available to them. A digital lock, that digital process, 99% of the people wouldn't even know they went through it.
Right.
They would just log on to the EDD website. They would put their information in, and at the end of the process, they would be awarded their benefit, and it would be processed. They wouldn't even know. A couple percent, there may be some issues. Maybe they changed their name. Maybe they're not using a device that belongs to them. Maybe they're coming in from a different state, but they're actually a resident of Colorado. They're going to have to go through some additional scrutiny through a call center.
Okay.
But it's a very limited number of people that that would occur with.
Okay. Let me ask you another question, and somebody just texted this into our text line. Given the fact that there's all of this fraud across the entire country, how do we know what the real unemployment numbers in the country even are right now? Or do we?
You know, I have asked that question, and I have spoken to a number of economists, and I have not gotten a good answer.
Yeah,
that's what I figured. Because right now, if you look at the fraud rate, which is right around 30%, and how the federal government collects the unemployment numbers based upon
benefits,
new claims,
right?
There may be a significant issue with the calculation of the unemployment rate because it is likely being overstated by the amount of fraud that's currently in the system.
I have had
nobody been able to explain to me how that number is calculated, how the states provide it. I don't understand.
Yeah, which if you're thinking there's 30% fraud minimum, that means you literally could take the 6% rate we've got nationwide and cut that by 2 points, and it's now 4%.
Could be. I don't know, but I have often wondered that myself. If the numbers coming out of the states are overstated because they're paying criminals that are located overseas, what makes you think that the unemployment insurance rate number is actually accurate?
And then, you know, on top of all of this, which just chaps my hide as an employer, Haywood, is I as an employer will now be asked to make up the shortfall in this fund because here in Colorado we spent over $500 million in giving it away to individuals you just mentioned. But I, as the employer, now I'm going to have to pick up the tab.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Which is a bunch of crap, by the way.
I would tell you that $500 million, sir, is a very light estimate.
Agreed.
I would say that number is going to double over the next month and a half.
Wow.
As the state gets more and more into what actually happened.
Wow.
If you remember, the state of California initially described their problem with unemployment insurance fraud as $100 million. Then it went to $1 billion. Then it went to $11 billion. And now it's sitting at $32
billion. Wow.
The state doesn't know how much fraud they paid because they haven't put the right systems in place to stop it in the first place. And they haven't had the tools to go through and examine the current recipients to see if they're actually residents of a different country.
Oh, amazing. And this is money, as you know, Haywood, I'm not telling you anything, but for all of those listening, this money's never coming back, is it?
Pay and chase does not work.
Yeah. Yep.
Right? They will never get that money back.
Nope.
If you just look at the number of prosecutions in this space, they're minimal.
Right.
Right. I mean, but at the end of the day, right, in the United States of America is a great country. We do great things, and we should be able to help people in need.
Yep. And we should be able to do it in a way where there's not this massive fraud that's going on. I mean, good grief, Haywood. We sent a man to the moon and back, one of the only countries to do so, and we can't figure this crap out? Give me a break.
Yeah. Right. It shouldn't happen. Can you imagine if this happened in the private sector? You said that you were a business owner.
Well, we'd be in jail.
Can you imagine?
Yeah, we'd be in jail.
Can you imagine? Yeah. Look, people still talk about the Enron fraud as the biggest fraud in our country's history. That was $11
billion. Yeah, that's dwarfed in comparison to this. The other thing, Haywood, that you said earlier, that you know you think it's just because the government is, in a way, ignorant of these things that are out there that they could be using. Well, I can tell you one thing. If I tell the IRS that I'm just ignorant of something, that doesn't go too far, because ignorance isn't any line of defense with them, is it?
No, but I am sympathetic, right?
I'm glad you are, because I'm not. I'm not sympathetic to a government that could have fixed this. I'm not. Sorry.
Yeah, no, I understand. But there's time, right? And by the way, if Governor Polis would like some help, we'd be happy to help and show him. We have a lot of employees in the state of Colorado, many of whom have received notices from the state and have received 1099-G forms saying that they were laid off and unemployed, and none of that's true. The private sector is here to help.
Right.
And they want to help. And, like, you know, from my perspective, you know, growing up in Massachusetts and watching my family go through these ups and downs of the economy, like, I know we can do better and we should be doing better. And then the other part of it is unacceptable to be paying transnational criminal groups that are using this money for human trafficking. They're using this money for terrorism. And they're using this money for drugs in our community, and we need to stop it now.
Yep, you are right. And by the way, I agree with what you just said. When the private sector is here to help, and we are. And by the way, folks, everybody listening, and Haywood, you would agree. The reason we're here to help is we all know that it makes our country better at the end of the day. And on top of that, like I said earlier, Haywood, you as an employer, I as an employer, we're going to be the one making up this difference when it's all said and done. So yeah, I want to stop the bleeding.
If this had been stopped, based upon my calculations, every single unemployed individual could have received a check for $9,500 in addition to their benefits.
Unbelievable. All right, Haywood, I appreciate you calling, and hopefully people out there are listening, especially those that are in the government side of the side of things. Haywood, I appreciate it. This has been good stuff. I really do appreciate it.
Hey, you have a great day, sir.
You do the same. Haywood Talkov, again, CEO of LexisNexis Risk Solutions. That's hard to say all in one phrase there, one sentence, I should say. He is in the government group, and you can hear, by the way, I think his frustration as well as mine, that we have a system, not only in just Colorado, but across the country, that is ripe with holes and fraud. And he is saying now in Colorado, he predicts that we're not at a $500 million loss, but really a $1 billion loss. And he brings up a great point, as well as the texter that I had on, is the unemployment really at 6% across the country, or is it more like 4%? I will tell you, I think it's more like 4%. I can tell you that just as an employer point of view. Franktown Firearms is next, folks. It's 5 days now to wait to get a firearm. If you go in and buy one, that's the background check. Waiting time is 5 days. Get that started now. It's a week to own a gun right now. So the sooner you get going, the sooner you own one. KLZradio.com, 720-770-7777.
At Franktown Firearms, you can always get better. It's a very conservative notion that no matter how good you are right now, life is all about improving yourself. That's exactly how the team at Franktown Firearms is looking at training, which is why they offer a greater diversity of platforms than most shooting ranges, including static, moving and shooting, and target acquisition engagement, so you can always get better. It's a great feeling to see your skills improving, and at Franktown Firearms, you have literally unlimited potential. Sign up for one-on-one instruction on the range or register for a group class catered to your level of ability. For Rush to Reason listeners only, sign up for a range membership now by filling out the contact form at klzradio.com/franktown and receive $50 off your initiation fee, plus your first month free. Range members receive a discount in the shop as well as a discount on all classes. Franktown Firearms, confidence through practice.
Managers control their employees. Leaders empower them. John Rush will teach you how to run your business as a leader, not manager, so you have the freedom to do what you love. You went into business for yourself because you wanted freedom, but right now your business couldn't last one day without your involvement. Learn how to stop micromanaging and give your employees more responsibility so you can step back and enjoy yourself. Send an email to john@rushtoreason.com.
Are express lanes highway robbery or just the price of traveling in the fast lane? Kim Munson here. Wednesday, Cheryl Atkison, author of Slanted, How the News Media Taught Us to Love Censorship and Hate Journalism, addresses this issue. Thank you to Helen Jean Mitchell for her sponsorship of this broadcast. She'll be in studio to co-host the show. Mortgage specialist Lauren Levy shares his thoughts on censorship and toll lanes. That's Wednesday, 6 to 7 a.m., 1 to 2 p.m., again 10 to 11 p.m. right here on KLZ 560 and KLZ 100.7 FM.
Keep freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion alive by contributing to support The Kim Munson Show at KimMunson.com. That's M-O-N-S-O-N.
Putting reason into your afternoon drive. This is John Rush.
Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Joe, what's going on, sir?
John, it was serendipity. I just heard your previous guest yesterday. Literally yesterday, I got a notice from Colorado Division of Unemployment about my unemployment.
Oh, you're unemployed now, Joe. Is that it?
Yeah, and the claim. So they asked me to confirm some things. Fortunately, I had mail forwarding service from the U.S. Post Office, so I got it here in New Jersey. But according to them, I just filed for unemployment. And when I was telling this story to Charlie, he tells me that he was a victim of unemployment fraud as well.
And myself, and Joe, I can tell you many, many others as an employer, they just come through daily. It's ridiculous.
So there's a little thing on the bottom if you think this is an error. And so I went on and said, nope, this wasn't me. It's fraud. So, but, you know, if there's a million, there's only about three, you know, Colorado has 5.7 million population, but, if, you know, a quarter of them are under age 18 and a quarter are over age 65. And that leaves about three and a half million in the middle. And many of them are stay at home moms.
Right.
So you probably only have 2.5-3 million workers, and if you have a million fraudulent claims, that's 40% of the workforce.
Yeah. Well, and I think, you know, I had a texter that asked the question, and I think I don't know if it's he or she, sorry, whoever texted, by the way, I'll give you kudos, because, Joe, they bring up something that I haven't thought about, and I don't think this particular, well, the guy that I was interviewing had thought about it and asked the question but didn't have any direct answers, and you're not hearing about this in the media anywhere. With all of this fraud that's gone on across the country, this particular gentleman feels it's about 30%, and it might even be higher. Well, if it's 30%, we have a 6% unemployment rate. We don't have 6%. We have 4%.
Exactly.
Which, by the way, as an employer, Joe, I would almost tell you that that's about what it feels like out in the marketplace, is it's more like 4%, not 6%.
Well, certainly in Colorado, but there is a slight disconnect, John. The Bureau of Labor Statistics does not use the number of people receiving unemployment to come up with that. They actually do it by household surveys. So there's no direct link between the number of active employment claims and the unemployment.
Are you sure about that, Joe?
Absolutely positive.
How could they come up with that based upon surveys?
Every month they call several thousand households. At random, they've got a whole, you know, room full of people, and they call several thousand. If you just Google,
well, then that's not very accurate.
No, but that's how they do it. And it's, is anybody in your household, you know, currently unemployed, looking for work? It's literally a survey. So,
yeah, Charlie said he's never been called. Neither have I. So who are they calling?
I have no idea. But just look up methodology determining unemployment rate, Bureau of Labor Statistics. It's by a survey. So.
And it is. If that is the case, it's totally awful, because there's no way that's accurate.
It can't.
No way that's accurate.
In town here, I think I told you last month, you know, Walmart was looking for people $17.50 an hour. I was in the grocery store today, the local shop, right over the loudspeaker. We're hiring $17 an hour plus full benefits, medical, boom, boom, boom. You know, stop by the office, you know, pick up an application. So grocery stores and Walmart offering $17 an hour, $17.50 an hour, they can't fill the openings.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think we have a 6%, actual 6%. I agree with you, John. It's probably closer to 3 or 4.
And, you know, as an employer, I mean, history-wise, Joe, I can pretty much tell you, you know, what it feels like to be at, you know, 2%, or, which, by the way, 2% is zero, because there's going to be 2% of the workforce is never working anyway. So that number, you know, in my opinion, shouldn't exist anyway. So really, if you take that 2% out and you have 4%, you really have 2%. If you have 6%, you get the drift. The reality of right now, to me, is it feels like we are around that 4% range or so, is what it feels to me like as an employer.
Yeah, if you want jobs, they're out there.
There are tons, by the way.
Tons. But just go on Craigslist, by the way. Look under construction.
It's all over the place, Joe. There are tons of them.
I think, by the way, you'll find in Denver, under, if you go Craigslist jobs, I forget what the category is for construction, but basically no experience needed, you'll find 2,500 advertisements. You know why it's 2,500?
No.
That's the limit that
That's the limit it'll go to. That's right. Yes. Right. Sorry. Yes. I knew that.
So yeah, the 2,500 is the most they will display. That's why employers are reposting their jobs every 24, 48 hours.
Yeah, if they want to be at the top of the list, they don't have any choice.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So I don't know how many actual jobs there are, but there's 2,500 being displayed every day on under construction.
And that's just one. That's just one area. That doesn't include, you know, Indeed and all of the other places you can advertise a job.
Right. Those are the more higher-end, experienced executive, you know, some, you know, skilled accounting, bookkeeping-type jobs. But just plain old construction labor. Craigslist, you know, labor.
Yeah.
And 2,500 jobs every day in Denver.
What's interesting, too, is there's a lot of folks out there that you'll go and read that will tell you that you and I are actually wrong, that the unemployment number is much, much higher based upon their thoughts and you know, feelings and processes or whatever. But I'm going to stick by my thoughts and my own numbers, Joe, and what I'm encountering in real life.
No, it is nowhere near. And again, there's more jobs than people right now. There's more jobs than willing workers.
There you go. That's the way to say it. Yes, that's the way to say it. No, good stuff. Joe, thanks as always. I appreciate that very much. And I did not know that's how we figured unemployment. I'm going to do some research on that because I'd like to see the actual questionnaire and what they actually ask, because in my opinion, that's about as bogus as it gets. Affordable Interest Mortgage is next. Kurt Rogers would love to help you out with all of your mortgage needs. Get a free review today. It's simple. All you have to do is call him on the phone. Anything you need, he's there for you. 720-895-0500.
Take aim. Affordable Interest Mortgage has been offering the Asset Manager all-in-one loan for over 11 years. We are experienced in helping homeowners pay thousands less in interest on their mortgage, own their home faster, all without spending one dime more. 720-895-0500. Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, where we have hundreds of clients that have been using this loans to build their equity faster, access emergency funds when necessary, and pay off their home in 8 to 13 years versus 25 to 30. People initially believe this loan is too good to be true, but it is true. Call 720-895-0500 now to see if you qualify. Loans from $100,000 to $2.5 million, same rate. Ask our previous clients. They will tell you it works. Call 720-895-0500 and work with the experts. This loan has been around since 1965. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where it's all about you. 720-895-0500. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
All right, a good shop is next, folks. And if you're looking to get your vehicle repaired after an accident, which looking out the window to the west here, it's raining like no tomorrow. If you're involved in an accident and need some help, the guys at a good shop and guys and gals at a good shop can help you. And Al told us yesterday there's a free detailing that goes along with the collision repair right now through the 10th of April, where they'll give you a free upgraded detail, $150 value, just for getting your car repaired there. So find them today at klzradio.com or call 720-541-7697.
Get your auto body work and mechanical repairs done at the same place. Most people have one shop for auto body work and another for mechanical repairs and maintenance. But Al Sturm and his team at a good shop can handle both. Al and Jamie Sturm are constantly looking for new ways to provide better, more convenient service for their customers because they're driven by one simple goal, to help more people. At a good shop in North Glen and Commerce City, they do their best to handle everything in-house so you don't need to be relying on the dealers to get your vehicle back. Bring your vehicle into a good shop for auto body work, and they'll take care of your struts, brakes, and alignment at the same time. Auto body and mechanical work, all under one roof. Click on the free virtual estimate button now at klzradio.com/collision and mention KLZ in your virtual estimate request for $100 off your repairs. A good shop in North Glen and Commerce City. Certified collision repair worth referring.
The Mike Gallagher Show.
He's your happy conservative warrior.
Good to know the Democrat leadership wisely recognized that you need to honor a Capitol police officer who died at the hands of a Nation of Islam follower, just like you honored Brian Sicknick, who died the day after the Capitol riots of an unknown cause.
Don't miss the next Mike Gallagher Show.
Mike Gallagher, weekday mornings at 8 on KLZ 560.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. By the way, learning a lot today, as I always do. There's not a day that goes by that either one of you or one of our guests or some of the research that I do doesn't teach me something that I didn't know prior, and a lot of the reasons why I do this show on a daily basis. There's so much information out there, so many things I don't even know that you learn and learn and learn every day. There's something new. And again, I appreciate all of you that call in, that text, that send me different things, send me articles. And by the way, continue to do so. Even though there's days where you may send me something and I don't use it, it's not because I didn't want to or anything along those lines. In a lot of cases, there's just so much packed into one show. And then, of course, you guys are there. You call in and maybe take things a different direction, which, by the way, that's perfectly fine. That's the way this works. And we don't then end up getting to some of the things that we wanted to talk about initially. But one thing we did want to talk about, Jennifer Kearns is with us now, is, again, I talked about this during the first hour, Jennifer, is the MLB game leaving Georgia and now, you know, the All-Star game and now coming to Denver, which, again, sort of feel weird about this, Jennifer. I'm glad it's coming here, but I really don't think it should have left Georgia.
Well, it is true, John, and great to be with you. You know, once again, Colorado is the hot spot of everything political in the country, as you so often are. I think this is interesting, not just from a political aspect and from a cancel culture aspect, but the trick play that the Democrats tried to pull on Republicans and the rest of the American people, actually, I think is pretty interesting. It's sort of like, it reminds me of that bunt play, you know, that you try to do in baseball, but mm-hmm. It just got scooped up by Republicans. So I think this is going to backfire on Democrats. This could be the beginning of the end of cancel culture, because it just shows how ridiculous this sort of move is.
I hope you're right. And I don't know what the MLB, first of all, I don't know why they're in politics. I don't know any sports agency, team otherwise, is in politics in the beginning. We talked about this in the first hour, Jennifer. We all go to sports to get away from this stuff. I mean, I know you and I live it daily, but there are times, even myself, where, frankly, I don't want anything to do with it. I've had enough. I've read enough. I've talked about it enough. I want something else to do. Typically, for a lot of us, that involves sports of all different kind. And the reality is, these sports teams and these organizations, in this case the MLB, they don't know their own customer base, and they're driving them away, which means they're, I said earlier, Jennifer, the left creates a mental illness. I think you have to be mentally ill to be left, and this proves it.
Yeah, and you know, not only do they not know their customer base, I mean, look back at what happened to the NFL in the wake of the Colin Kaepernick escapades. In November of 2016, the same month that Donald Trump got elected, 600,000 Americans unsubscribed their cable package from ESPN. That's the major channel that the NFL was playing on at the time. They had the most NFL contracts. I think the MLB is going to see this hit to their ratings. And here's the interesting thing, John. Not only does the MLB and all these sports organizations not know their base, the Democrat Party doesn't even know their own base. So think about this. In their infinite wisdom, these woke progressives are planning to move this from Atlanta, a city that is 51% urban African-American,
right,
to Denver, a city that is 87% mostly suburban, as we know, and mostly white. That's according to the last U.S. Census, almost 90% white. So with that move, Democrats are forcing the income and jobs and opportunity and everything that would have otherwise gone to minorities that the Democrats time and time again claim that they help.
Which we know at the end of the day, Jennifer, they don't. They give lots of lip service. And I've said this numerous times. We've seen it in our own state here with our own Governor Polis. At the end of the day, these people care nothing, literally nothing, about the common man, the citizen of whatever state they're in. They just don't care. And even here in Colorado, you know, Governor Polis now, he's basically touting that, yep, the game's coming here. And I'll quote what he said today. Somebody asked him, will the Vic Lombardi, by the way, news guy here in town, sports guy here in town, asked him, will the pandemic limit the crowds? Polis's direct answer, keep in mind, we've been locked down and still in a lot of parts, Jennifer, are still under a mask order in this state. His answer, direct quote, was, this game will be in July, so none of that will be a concern by then, unquote.
Well, he's, of course, following Joe Biden's rule that by 4th of July, we can all get back to our normal routines. I have news for Joe Biden and Jared Polis. I've been doing that for the
have.
Past year.
Yeah, thank you. Exactly.
We've been having barbecues in small groups since last 4th of July. Carefully and safely, of course, but we've been having them. Look, this just goes to show how out of touch they are. Again, look at the city they pulled this from, Atlanta, where one-third of small business owners are Black. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution also said recently that Atlanta was rated a top five best city for Black-owned businesses. Well, guess what happens to the popcorn stand owner and the T-shirt vendor, and even the guys that are doing the underground economy with the T-shirts in the parking lot? All of those people get hurt by this decision. They could not be more out of touch. By the way, I think it's funny, too. They're playing this game at Coors Field, named after a family of prominent white Republicans whose patriarch, Pete Coors, once entertained a U.S. Senate run.
Good point.
Once entertained a U.S. Senate run as a, you guessed it, Republican.
I get it. Yeah, that's all. I didn't think about that. That's awesome. That is spot on. Yeah. That is so good.
And the Coors family supports, they give a lot of money to GOP causes in the state. I mean, it doesn't get funnier than that.
No, in fact, a lot of them great Christians and do a lot of things to support great Christian causes in this town and so on. And to your point, Jennifer, I hadn't thought about that, but you're right. You're right on. It's just hilarious. Well, and even the owner of the team, who's conservative, by the way, let's go there too.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. I mean, it just doesn't get funnier than that. Here's the interesting thing, you know, I'm always looking ahead, you know, John, to the next election. So I'm always like, how's this going to affect 2022? Like I said, I think this might be this silliness. It just gets so silly when you look at this. It might be the beginning of the end to the cancel culture. And I always, my motto in politics, the golden rule is don't interrupt your opponent when they're making a mistake.
Yeah.
So when Democrats have taken their eye off the ball here, sorry for the baseball pun.
No,
but,
it's true.
They've allowed Republicans to steal a base right in front of their eyes. I mean, it's a good day at the ballpark, so to speak.
Well, and to your point, we've got now, and I talked about this a little bit earlier, but let's do it again. You've got leaders of, you know, Coke, United, Delta, and by the way, these guys are so stupid as CEOs, they've never even read the law that got passed in Georgia, because if they had, they wouldn't be spouting off and saying some of the ludicrous things they're saying. To your point, though, this is an example where we just got to sit back and let these guys destroy themselves, because, again, all these CEOs are doing is spewing out the same talking points that were put out by the Democrats, which, by the way, are just complete, utter lies. They're not even close to being accurate, and these guys are dumb enough to fall into it.
Yeah, they really are. And look, Delta Airlines, this is a company whose number one product is airline travel. You can't get on an airplane without showing an ID. If Delta really wants to get rid of ID, how about they go first? How about they start just letting whomever they want board their planes? Let's take some planes down to the border. Let's let people on without showing an ID. Probably wouldn't fly. So
better
well
better yet, Jennifer, I'm going to add one more layer to that, because I think it's even a better comparison to what you just said, because in a lot of cases, the FAA, you know, demands some of the thing you just said. Let's take it one step further and say, okay, Mr. Delta, how about in the future, if somebody wants to get a Delta Airlines credit card and earn those Delta Airline miles, they don't have to show any proof of who they are or that they even exist, but we'll go ahead and give them a credit card and miles if they fly. How's that work out for you?
It's that's so good.
Because you know what? That's a better comparison, because the FAA doesn't dictate how they run their corporate card and membership program. That's done on their own. That's a better comparison than you know, having a license to fly, because we all know the FAA controls that. But the other side of the fence I just mentioned, Delta controls that.
Yeah, true. And look, in this woke economy where we want not just equality, but equity, They should then start giving out credit cards to everyone, regardless of their ability.
Yeah,
to pay
there we
it
go.
Back.
Yeah, no matter
and
whether you can pay the bill or not, Jennifer, we should all get
ID.
A credit card.
Yeah, and without having to show any ID, you're absolutely right.
Okay, so let's talk for a moment also, because I didn't talk on this earlier, but I did want to touch on it. One of my listeners sent me the letter that actually was sent to Robert Manfred, the commissioner of the Major League Baseball organization that we're talking about. Talking about essentially, you know, their membership at Augusta National Golf Club, and are they going to continue to keep their membership there? And then on top of that, there's been other letters that have gone out to Major League Baseball asking, you know what, as a governmental you know, agency here, you know, as legislatures, should we go ahead and keep your protective status that you have when it comes to antitrust and other things, given the fact that you're now going to bring politics into your game?
Well, look, I mean, this is the big question that's been posed also to big tech look at Mark Zuckerberg's money that he threw around in the last election cycle. We're just now, 3 months after the election, starting to find out exactly how vast Zuckerberg's PAC was, that he put money in certain swing states. Look, I don't know that that could actually be done, but it's possible. I mean, look, this looks like a lot of corporate self-loathing to me. Why anyone at Coca-Cola or Delta or any of these companies would capitulate and bend the knee to the rage mob is really beyond me. Because these people, it's proven by Joe Biden's massive 28% corporate tax hike and his massive taxes on millionaires. These Democrats today, they don't like companies. They don't like corporations, and they don't like the executives who run them. And what the executives will end up finding out is what everybody who's tried to please the mob has found out in the last 10 years. It doesn't work.
It doesn't
and they'll
work.
Be next
nope.
on the chopping block.
You know, you just bring up a great point there when it comes to all of these high-end executives, which, by the way, make well over what Joe Biden wants to put in as the limit for where you're going to have a tax increase. So the reality is every one of these guys is going to get a tax increase. It's amazing to me, Jennifer, that they continue to side. And I said this about, you know, Kaepernick and a lot of the pro players. It's amazing that these guys will side with the very political party that wants to see their demise. Because if you think for 1 second the left wants NFL to exist or MLB to exist for that matter, you're crazy, Jennifer. They would just as soon have them go away. I can tell you right now, the left looks at the NFL as nothing but a bunch of barbarians on a field, and they would love to see that game end completely. It's amazing to me these guys will get in bed with the same people that want to end their careers.
Yeah, it's so interesting. And I appeared on your station, gosh, back in 2013, and I talked about how Democrats are going after the 5S, faith, family, freedom. Football was one of them, by the way.
Yep.
And boy, they sure have gone after every single one of those institutions. The Democrats so often will telegraph where they're going next. We would be wise as a country to believe them when they say it the first time.
Well said. Jennifer, how do folks find you?
AllAmericanNews.com.
I appreciate it. It's always a joy having you. Thanks for all you do, and just you know, I appreciate the connection you have with us, and you can appreciate things here that, you know, frankly, other guests around the country can't. So thank you so much. I do appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much, John.
Jennifer, take care very much. Appreciate it. Jennifer Kearns, Geno's Auto Service is up next, folks. And as I look west, and man, it is raining like no tomorrow. It's starting to come down even heavier here at the station, which reminds me of things like tires and wiper blades, and believe it or not, alignment can even be can have an effect upon how things work in this type of weather. Is your vehicle really up to speed, and does it work the way it should, or have you let things get behind during COVID? If that's the case, go to Geno's, get your vehicle inspected, looked at, taken care of, and get it up to speed like it needs to be. 303-794-6700, or go to genosautoservice.com, and that's Geno's with a J.
For over 38 years, Geno's Auto Service has been serving Littleton and customers along the Front Range. Right now, you can take advantage of Geno's $74.99 four-wheel alignment special. Mention KLZ Radio, and they'll include a free inspection of your suspension. During the winter months, icy roads and potholes can damage your suspension, so it's worth getting it checked out. This month, get a $50 NAPA prepaid Visa card with a qualifying NAPA steering and suspension parts purchase of $250 or more. As members of Colorado Select Auto Care, Geno's backs up their service with NAPA's nationwide peace of mind warranty. Geno's continues to service Larry's automotive customers. To make your life simpler, Geno's offers loaner vehicles so you can drop your car off and pick up when ready. Give them a call or go online to schedule an appointment. And be sure to check out all of their excellent Google reviews. They're AAA approved and located at Bowles and Platte Canyon in Littleton. Stop in or visit them online at genosautoservice.com. That's Geno's with a J.
Golden Eagle Financial. And folks, lots of things get figured into your retirement future. And folks like Al Smith can do that. They are a financial advisor, and they can help you make the decisions necessary to not only get you to retirement, but keep you there as well. That's not me. That's not what I do, but it's what Al Smith does. Find him today at 303-744-1128 or at klzradio.com.
You can breathe easy knowing you'll have enough money to live comfortably in retirement. Now you have the luxury of deciding how you'll spend that money to make it work even harder for you. Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial will help you create a plan to minimize taxes and fees so your savings last
Before you stop contributing to your 401k or IRA and start taking distributions, you'll want to have a plan in place to make certain your money will help you achieve your goals. If you should need long-term care at some point, you'll want to make sure your kids get a break. Al Smith will show you how to set up supplemental coverage so your kids have some help, and it's already paid for. It's time to shift your focus from wealth accumulation to wealth preservation with KLZ's Retirement Planning Specialist. Set up a free consultation with Al Smith now at klzradio.com/money. Advisory services offered through Foundations Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Now back to Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. And it seems like the theme today is how crazy the left actually is. So to continue on with that theme, most of you may or may not know this name. You'll know the face if you saw it. Rachel Levine, who is the Assistant Secretary to the Biden Administration for the Health and Human Services, so HHS. She believes that transgender drugs, surgeries for minors, are health equity issues. So during an interview last week with NPR, for those of you that maybe don't know, Shim is a transgender. So Rachel, I guess, used to be Michael. I don't know what his name was prior. I still see him as a man, by the way. He's not a woman. He was born a man. It's what God made him. He's a man. So Mr. Levine said bills banning young people from assessing drugs such as puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones and transgender surgeries. Let me back up. Make sure you all heard that part, by the way. Bills banning young people. Okay, these are children, folks. We're not talking about functioning adults that can make decisions on their own. We're talking about children. He says that banning young people from assessing drugs such as puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones and transgender surgery such as elective double mastectomy, so let's remove the boobs, as well as bans against male competing in women's sports are all really challenging to see, he says. By the way, it's not challenging. Oh, I just learned. I should have learned this before, Charlie. His real name was Richard Levine. So not Michael. I was wrong. It's Richard. He said those transgendered issues are not political. Actually, they are, because people like you, Richard, have made them political. But very appropriate to address by one of the nation's top health officials. I don't see it as a political issue at all, he says. I view this as a health equity issue. This is about fairness and equality and about specifically health equality, which is part of my portfolio. I don't see any risk in terms of politicization of this issue. Well, first of all, your administration, the Biden administration, I should say, politicized this. You are now continuing to politicize this. And I've said this before, and I'll keep saying it. This guy's a freak of nature, folks. He's mentally ill, which I believe every transgender person is. They've got a screw loose, or they wouldn't be there in the first place. You don't change your sex unless you have a screw loose. And how do I know that? Because I've interviewed people that have gone through this that realize how devastating it actually is, how it screws things up more in your life than it was initially, and what you thought was going to be a great thing turns out to be the biggest demon in your life. Again, you have a screw loose thinking this is the correct way to live life. God made you a certain way. And by the way, I'm going to say one other thing here, which I know a lot of the folks on the left hate me saying. I am an adult white male. And by the way, I'm very proud of it. God made me this way. He made my personality. He made me the way I look. He made me a man, a boy, I should say, when I was born. Turned me into a man that I'm very proud of. I would never think of, how should I say this, betraying my Heavenly Father by changing who I am, especially my sex. If he would have wanted me to be a woman, he would have made me one to begin with. He didn't. He made me a man, one that I'm proud of. And by the way, he made me the race that I am, which I'm also proud of. I'm proud of who I am because that's who he made. Barber's Foods is next, by the way. Something that I'm proud of is Greg Bloom and Barber's Foods and the meat that they get to your table. And they do that by knowing exactly where it comes from in the field itself, all the way through processing, all the way to your table. And it is literally the best meat you'll ever eat. Find it today at barbersfoods.com. That's with two S's, barbersfoods.com.
For those select few who still care about how the animals were raised and cared for, barbersfoods.com is perhaps the last place in Colorado you can go to buy air-chilled chicken, locally raised beef and bison, premium Duroc pork, and wild-caught salmon that are all sourced from families that they know personally. Let's face it, some things in life are gone and never likely to ever come back. Like houses in Denver that cost less than $100,000, or knowing your neighbor well enough to borrow a cup of sugar. But thanks to Barber's Foods, you can still know where your food comes from. Go to barbersfoods.com and click on April Specials at the top of the page to find ground beef and air-chilled chicken breast on sale. And for Mother's Day on May 9th, they have Mom's Favorite Beef Filet Tenderloins on sale. Some things are long gone, but you can still buy your meats from a local Colorado-owned family business. Barbersfoods.com, connecting you to your food since 1949.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
By the way, I had a great text message about Delta Airlines. Somebody said, let us all into the Delta Premier Lounge for free drinks. Talk about exclusionary. Good text, by the way. So, yeah, I wonder if you have to have an ID to get in there. I'm guessing you probably do. Shows you how hypocritical all those on the left actually are, including these CEOs. So, we'll be back. Another full hour coming your way. Don't forget, Patrick Neville is going to join us. John Zmierich, by the way. Then Patrick Neville will join us. We'll get some info on what's going on here at the State House as well. So don't go anywhere. Hour 3 is next. Rush to Reason. Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.